Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God wrought. Now notice that it says God wrought. Not Paul. God wrought. God is the one working through a man's hands. God did it. And it was special miracles. Now, you know the thing about a miracle. A lot of people do not understand that a miracle, a lot of people think, well, that was a miracle. Well, a true bona fide miracle is a little different than just a healing or something that would have manifested on its own eventually. A miracle is something that wasn't there and then it materialized. It's not something that just would have happened anyway over a period of time, like a healing a lot of times. People call healings miracles when they're not even miracles. A miracle is when you don't have an arm, the arm will never grow back, and boom, now there's an arm. It's an impossibility in the natural for that to ever happen. But that's a miracle when it happens. When there's not an eyeball in the socket, and all of a sudden, there's an eyeball in the socket. That is a bona fide miracle. It wasn't there, and now it's there. How do you explain that? You can't. But it says God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, I can promise you this one thing about Paul. If Paul had been living in his past, God couldn't have worked through him. If Paul had been living in what he had done, what he had said at any time in his life, God couldn't have used him. But God needs somebody he can work through. God wants to write some things. God wants to work some stuff. God wants somebody he can work through. He wants availability so that he can make a miracle happen. God's a miracle working God. There is not a thing hard for God to recreate eyeballs and grow legs and all that. All of those things. But he's waiting on people that he can work through. And I believe that God found a man in Paul, no matter what his past was, his history, God found somebody he could work through. So it's the work of God, right? It's the work of God. So I want to kind of go back to some things that I've just really had on my heart all week. Let's look at Isaiah 10:27. I just want to bring that to the forefront right now. So if you feel like that you'll never be used and you've messed up this week, and God wants to use you. God wants to use everybody that he can use. But Isaiah 10 in the Old Testament, Isaiah 10, verse 27. Okay. Last part says, And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. How do you suppose yokes are destroyed? How are yokes broken? How are bondages broken? Because of anointing. Because of an anointing. Do you know that every single child of God is anointed? If you're born again, you've been given the Spirit of God to live in you, and he is the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the unction. You have already an anointing on board to live for God. That's why the Holy Spirit, that's why you got to get born again, so the Holy Spirit can come on board and assist your spirit in developing to be a child of the living God, to know how to talk right, act right, live right, please God right. And God begins to do a work in you. You know, you weren't born again, full-blown, adult, mature Christian. It takes time to mature into the things of God. Now, just like little Caitlin, she isn't out here driving my car. Because, you know, that's just not the way it works in the natural or in the spiritual. So Holy Spirit never changes. Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit you got born again. I have the same Holy Spirit. The same power of God is in me right now that was in me the moment I accepted him at the age of 22. And I'm 57. So he didn't change. He's not going to change. But there's somebody inside me who's helping me change. There's somebody that's doing a work in me who began a good work in me, and he's been changing me every day all these years. And I've resisted him. Oh my goodness. I have pitched fits and everything else. I have not been the easiest student. I've not been real changeable. And sometimes I'm not real teachable. But there is a heart in me that wants to please God. For one thing, I have a tremendous fear of God. And that's my big ace in the hole. I have an ace in the hole. You know, that's my big bonus right there, is I really do fear God. I have a tremendous fear and reality of God, a reality check here. I fear God. And that somehow has just really kept me focused on, just keep me focused on keeping me right, getting me right. Ever use me to wrought a special miracle? How could you ever use these hands? You know, these hands, I am not all together. I'm broken fixtures. I'm a broken fixture. I just never will amount to anything. I can't do anything. I can't talk right. I can't act right. Remember Moses? He stuttered. All kinds of things. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Give me some more excuses why God can't work through you. Paul ran out of them, didn't he? See, we got to lay us aside. But God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Heard the Holy Spirit this morning say, you're going to talk on faith. You're going to talk about faith. Because why is faith such a big deal? For one thing, it's impossible to please God without faith. I believe Paul was one of the greatest faith people you'll ever meet. He was a faith man serving a faith God. But faith has to have something to work through. You can have a car full of gas. You can have beautiful wheels. You can have everything working in that car. But what makes that car go? There's something that causes that car to move forward. You got to put some action to your faith. You got to make faith work. The faith works by love. Now, faith works by love just like car works by gas. Ever think about that? Simple? It's pretty simple. But something has to connect to make the gas function in that car. Something's got to give it a desire. Something's got to push the pedal, put the right things in place, and make it go, right? It says it in Romans. It says it in Habakkuk. It says it in Hebrews. It says in Galatians, the just shall live by faith. So, okay, for one thing, faith is what you live by. Without it, it's impossible to please God. And on top of that, there's a scripture that says that's the kind of fight we are going to be fighting the rest of our lives as Christian, a faith fight. So how are you going to live by faith? How are you going to please God if you don't have any faith? Well, then if I need faith, how do I get faith? How in the world am I going to do anything for God if I don't have faith? So the word says that if you need faith, there's a way to get it. God would not tell you that you can't get faith. You know, I tell you something real quick. Let me say this. I remember hearing a message, and the man of God said, years ago, I heard him say, do not ask God to give you faith. You're praying wrong. That's one prayer that will not be answered. You can't ask God to give you faith. And I'm thinking, what do you mean you can't ask God to give you faith? I didn't quite understand that. And he went on to say, because God sets things in order. He sets things in the universe in order. There is a way to get faith, because without it, it's impossible to please him, right? So if it's impossible to please God, then he would be an unjust God to not make a way for me to have faith, right? And so faith is also measurable. Faith can be measured. Did you all know that? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that he gives every man a measure of faith. Everybody starts out with the same measure. When you got born again, there was the Holy Spirit who is the unction, who is the presence, the anointing of God is in you, and he's in everybody in equal portion. Now, Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure, but we have the Spirit of God in a measure, equal measure. And over 30 times in a research study I did in the New Testament, I found that over 30 times personally, might be in there more than that, but at the 30 times I'm thinking, I'm convinced. God is no respecter of persons. It says it over 30 times. I personally studied it out for me, and I can show you the scriptures. I've got them written all down in a notebook somewhere. But God is no respecter of persons. So that convinced me. So in other words, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paul the Apostle. There is no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. But do you know what I've come to understand impresses God? Faith impresses God. I'm talking active, working faith. I'm not just talking, well, I got all kinds of faith because I know the Word and I can quote 100 scriptures. But are you working the Word you know? Are you walking in the Word you know? That's really faith in action. Action. When I say faith, in my mind, I'm thinking faith that you're able to take. The faith that you're able to walk in. Now, not everybody can walk in the same amount of faith. Not everybody has faith to believe for certain, more than some people have more faith than others. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so when Brother Bumpus was here the other day, he was talking about some people when they're talking about finances, for example. Their faith has grown, their measure of faith has been developed to believe for $10,000, maybe $10. And he started talking about believing God for $200,000. In his ministry, he's been in ministry now for, 32 years? And God told him, said, you're not going to ask anybody for any money. You're going to believe me for everything. And he was a prisoner out of a prison cell, been in prison most of his life. And so, you know, that was a challenge for that man to step out. He's got an awesome testimony. Awesome. Now, God wrought. God, Almighty God. You know, I believe in the deity. I believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity, I believe in the Trinity. I believe there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus talked about his Father. He talked about his Father. The Jews had never known God as Father. They had only known God, Almighty God, Jehovah, as the judge, God, judge of the universe. But Jesus was introducing the kingdom of heaven to people. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Okay, now I want you to think about this a minute. What part do people play in the miraculous? What part do you play in the miraculous in your own life? What part do I play in the miraculous? If it's God who is working the miracles, if God wrought special miracles, Jesus made a statement here. He quoted the word of God, and he said, this day, right now. Now, those people that were present, if they had heard with faith, if their ears had heard that, and faith comes from hearing, right? Anytime you hear the word of God, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing. Jesus told these people, Jesus, Son of God, stood up and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled or filled full. It's happened. It is happening right now in your ears. Your ears are hearing the word of God, and you can really receive it. It's happening for you. What was going to happen? You're going to be delivered. You're going to be healed. You're going to be set free. If you hear Jesus say word, and he says it's fulfilled right now in your ears, and your ears are open to hear it, this is Jesus talking. He's gone to his hometown, and he's opened the book, and he's quoting word, and he's saying, this day. He's a preacher, right? Anointed to preach the gospel. He's anointed to heal the sick. He's anointed. God's anointing was on Jesus. Well, but that's Son of God. That's the Son of God. No, that's That's God in His Word, the anointing. Let me go back and say something quickly. I think I just lost some folks. Jesus was the same Jesus that was in the same synagogue maybe a few months before. Wasn't he? Wasn't he the same Jesus? Wasn't he the same Jesus when he was growing up in his hometown? This is his hometown. Wasn't he the same Jesus when he was 25? He's a man now. He's 30 years old. He just got anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he steps into his ministry because God called him. Remember, he came out of the River Jordan. So the Holy Spirit came upon him. And if you read all those scriptures, it just talks about how that he was full of power. He came out of the Jordan full of power. And then he goes straight and he speaks a word to a whole congregation of people. But do you know something about those people? Their ears didn't hear. It was dependent on what they heard. It was dependent on their hearing. Ears is how you hear. Do y'all get what I'm talking about now? You get what I'm coming from? Because this is Jesus talking, Son of God. And if his whole purpose was to come to earth and to prove to his hometown and everybody around, I'm the Son of God. I'm anointed with power. I'm anointed to rock miracles. I'm going to rock the world. I'm going to heal everybody. And everybody that comes around me, I'm just Jesus. And I'm just full of power. And I'm just going to heal. And everybody comes around me and touches the hem of my garment, you're just going to get healed immediately. I'm Jesus. You know, here I am. I'm the Son of God. And I'm proving to everybody, I'm Jesus. I just want you to think about it in those terms for a minute. Because that's what something that just started unfolding to me this morning. I was thinking, wow. John G. Lake talked about electricity being very, very similar to the anointing of God. Because for one thing, we need faith, and faith is what creates the power, brings the power to us. Faith is the key, is a powerful key ingredient, because you got to believe the Word of God. So he was talking about this power. And it was here. How long has electricity been in the world? It's been forever, hasn't it? It's been here a long, long time. But did you know up until about 150 years ago, was it over a little over 100 years ago, everybody's using coal oil lamps in their house. Nobody's cooking with electricity. Nobody's heating their house with electricity. Nobody's running appliances with electricity. Nobody's watching anything or doing anything with electricity. Nothing had been created yet to make the electricity useful for us yet. The light bulb hadn't. Edison probably was the one man who created more stuff and created the ability for electricity to actually be functionable in our lives. See, the anointing is here to be functionable for us. He wants to function in our lives. But we got to give him something to work with. You could have all the power lines hooked to your house, and if you ain't got no appliances in there, it ain't going to help you out. Mm-hmm. Y'all get what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. We got to know how to hook it all up and get it working. The whole bottom line is, I want God's power to work in me. Mm-hmm. I want it working. I want to work with Him, flow with Him, and know how to work it. Mm-hmm. See, electricity, I believe Jesus was anointed with power. But we are too. Do you know you're anointed with power? Because Jesus, if we weren't, we would never be able to do what Jesus said we were going to be able to do. He said, greater works than I do, you're going to do. Well, how are you going to do greater works than Jesus if you don't have the same working ability that Jesus had? So it just makes common sense to me that if he has power from God and God is working in Jesus, God was working in Jesus. God was working in Jesus. It was God who worked the works. He said, it's the Father that does the works. He says that clearly. Mm-hmm. It's the Father that's doing the works. Right. Jesus worked hard at getting people to believe. He went about teaching and preaching. You see, teaching and preaching is the primary way. They didn't have a New Testament back then. They didn't have a book you could lay in your lap or on your table or in your cabinet. They didn't have the scriptures like we do, the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. Jesus is... showed up, he's shown up, And now he's expressing power. Mm-hmm. And he's teaching the kingdom way of doing things. Mm-hmm. The kingdom way of life. Because remember, without faith it's impossible to please God. Do you know something that came to me and I heard this said? That the Christian, the believer, they weren't Christians under the Old Covenant. But Old Covenant saints could not deal with the devil like you and I can. Old Testament saints could not do they were very limited in what they could do with the devil because he hadn't been destroyed yet. His power hadn't been destroyed yet. Think about that. They really didn't know what to do with demons. They couldn't cast them out. They had to deal with, think about that. You ever think about all that stuff? They were limited. They didn't have the blood of Jesus. Jesus had not yet destroyed the power of darkness yet. He hadn't destroyed the devil. He says he was made manifest to destroy the devil, right? Okay, what hadn't happened yet? So going back to what I'm trying to share here, y'all getting something here. Y'all hearing what I'm talking about. Because you have to follow what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is trying to say here this morning. Because he said this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Did it stop being fulfilled? Or is it still fulfilled in your ears? Mm-hmm. It's still fulfilled.
Amen.
But you got to hear it, right?
Yes.
For it to matter to you, to make any difference in you.
Sure.
And then it goes on. Of course, we know what happened after that. In verse 23, he says, and he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. In other words, just prove that you're God. Just come here and be and prove to us that you are the Son of God. He didn't come to do that. He didn't come to just show up and show off his power. He didn't. And he said, that's what you're going to ask me to do. But then he says to them, he said, but a prophet, verse 24, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted. See, they didn't just not accept him. They didn't accept the word that was in his mouth. They didn't accept it. Their hearing kicked it back out. What do you mean this day that prophecy is fulfilled in my ears? Here it is. If you'll hear a word, and this is a truth in every single instance of your life. Most people, they pass over something so simple to get to something big. If you can find a scripture and get that fulfilled in your ears, if you can just hear any scripture, and I find a scripture that I need to fulfill it right there in my ears right now. You see, faith is always now. So I find a scripture that is, because I know it's all fulfilled in my ears, if I will hear it. Mm-hmm. See, it's about my ears more than it is the fact that the power is available. I know the power is available. Just like I know electricity is available. I know how to wire a house, and I don't know how to hook in a range. I don't know how to do any of that. But I know it's real. Mm-hmm. And I've hooked into some power of God. I've hooked into some electricity of God. I've had some electricity. Anybody had a jolt from God? Anybody had a 220 hit them in the natural? Anybody ever stuck a screwdriver in a light socket and let it sling you backwards about 20 feet or whatever? I don't particularly want to. But I'm telling you, electricity is a real, real powerful force. So is the power of God. Power of God's a powerful force. Because you get this word raised up. You get that anointing, that power flowing in the word. It's all connected to the word of God. Just like electricity is connected to a source. Electricity has to have a current or something to work through. Do you know electricity just won't work through cloth? You could take a string of cloth and try to get electricity to run through it and it won't do it. You've got to have the right conductor to make electricity flow. It won't work through just anything. Try some rope. It won't work.
Try some cloth. It won't work. But evidently, if you read, continue to read in the book of Acts, that it said that they put aprons on Paul. Like, power of God works through cloth. Mm-hmm. Transferable. Huh. Through cloth.
That's true.
That had no copper. Oh, very powerful force. Mm-hmm. Powerful force. So that's religion. I ate it with the core of my being. And I was like, please, God. I've sat and watched people hang on altars and beg and cry all so many years. And it just irritates me so bad because I know they ain't going to get nothing. They're going to walk away, you know, shout and jump, and they can do all this stuff in church. And they don't understand faith. They ain't going to be shouting it very long. They'll lose whatever they got. They're going from experience to experience to experience. They felt the presence of God, and they go from that presence to the next time they get to go to church and feel the presence. They don't know how to walk by faith in anything. That's religion. That's what religion crippled the body of Christ. Presence of God, presence of God. Oh, I love to feel the presence of God. But, you know, that ain't what I live by. The just shall live by something called faith. So when faith taps into the power. We're going to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Do you know who oppresses people? The devil oppresses people. You know who's oppressing you? The devil is oppressing you. Do you know who your enemy is? The devil is my enemy. He's your enemy too. He's everybody's enemy. He hates everybody. But the word says that Jesus was anointed, that God anointed Jesus. God will anoint you. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you are anointed of God. God has anointed you. God has anointed me. With power. Hey, there's some power available. And he went about doing good. You know, that's the other thing, is that, you know, God can't trust some folks with the power of God because they wouldn't go about doing good. And that just short circuits the goodness of God. It short circuits the power, for one thing. You ever see a break in a power line? Well, doing bad will definitely hinder the power of God from working in your life. Matthew 14. Let's look at a few more verses quickly here. Matthew 14 and verse 34. When they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him. So stop right there and think about that verse a moment. Just before you read any more. The men of that place had knowledge of him. What kind of knowledge did they have of him? They heard him preach Isaiah 61. The Lord hath anointed me. Right. To heal the brokenhearted. To deliver the captives. To break every yoke. I mean, the scripture was fulfilled in your ears this day. It's fulfilled. If you'll hear this. So those men believed that word. The knowledge that, hey, this is someone God has anointed. This is someone God has anointed. Do you think they knew Jesus as we know Jesus today, those men of Gennesaret? Do you think they really knew him like we know him? Because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Jesus was just starting his ministry. He goes over and he's just starting his ministry, and these people don't know who he is, but he's preaching the word with an anointing to preach the word. And those people had the opportunity to reject that word or to receive that word. But they had knowledge. When they received that knowledge, you know, I keep thinking about it in Peter, it says, grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge. They had knowledge of him. And they must have believed it because look what they did. They sent out in all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Well, if they didn't believe what he was preaching, they wouldn't have went out and done all that, would they? They go out and round everybody they know sick. Hey, there's somebody here who says they're anointed to heal you. There's somebody here who says they're anointed to cast out devils. There's somebody here who can break every yoke. There's somebody here who's out there proclaiming. Gather everybody you can and get them in here. And there must have been stuff happening.
But do you know that in his hometown, he couldn't even heal but a few folks? A few sick folk. Look at that if real quick, because I just think that is just amazing. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And look what he says in chapter 6 of Mark, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. I mean, the Son of God who showed up to show everybody he's Son of God, he could not do any mighty work. It's about there. Have you ever gone to your family and tried to preach to your family? Because their ears are not going to hear your words. Yeah, you can preach a word, you can preach the gospel, you can quote scripture, but their hearing has something to do with it. And so he could do there no mighty work. See, we just think that automatically, am I wrong or am I right, that most Christians have been taught that this is Jesus. He can do anything. It's Jesus. He shows up to do all this great stuff and he healed everybody. Not everybody got healed that came around Jesus. Not everybody got healed. He healed them all that would be healed, that would hear. He did. He didn't turn anybody away. If they came and they could believe and they could receive, he'd even say to them, do you believe that I can do this? And if you flip over to chapter 5, look at chapter 5, verse 34. Look what he says to the woman that touched him. He says to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So my faith is a part of the whole equation.